Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is out. And this is a very popular issue of Sports Illustrated. There's no doubt about it. But there are organizations that believe that the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and if you're not familiar with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, let me just say that the cover and the interior pages are adorned with young models, beautiful young women, in the latest in women's swimwear. Men seem to look forward to this issue. It's been coming out since 1964, and there is at least one organization, one called Americans for Fair Sports Journalism. They don't want this issue coming out at all. I'm not going to talk to anybody from that group. I am going to talk to a man who reads Sports Illustrated. He's also a high school football coach. He also has a variety of businesses on the side. His name is Vernon Dozier. He joins us from Victor Sports Bar in El Segundo. And, Vernon, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Phil.
Excuse me. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue you're against, isn't that right?
Let me say that the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is... it isn't so much that I'm against it on any kind of moral grounds. I'm against the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, Mr. Hendry, for the a very simple reason. I think it is leading to the sexual emasculation of American men.
And can you give me some description?
What we talk about in our literature is simply this: American men, for however long, have been able to deal with a little problem called premature, and if you'll forgive me, I have to use a medical term here that might offend people. It's called premature ejaculation. It is something that I have suffered from for the last 25 years of my marriage. Now, I appreciate people wanting to see this swimsuit issue, but you have to understand that for those of us who have suffered from this problem of whatever you want to call it, dropping your candy before you get in the theater.
Well, the premature problem.
The premature problem. We've been able to offset it a little bit by thinking of, as funny as it may sound to some people, by thinking of baseball scores, batting averages, ball players.
So in other words, when you were making love to a woman, you're able to maintain a little bit longer by taking your mind off of that lovemaking act and think about sports?
That is correct.
Why? And I've heard of this. Is that because it's sort of a neutral...
Well, don't... So you're going to tell me you've never had this problem, is that right?
I'm not going to say I've never had the problem. I don't have it as... It's not a chronic problem that I have. That you say that...
Well, Yes, I've had it for 25. Yes, it is chronic with me, yeah.
25 years every time.
I'm working with a Dr. Bayrubi right now, and I've been able to increase my stamina. But for the most part, a part of that was being able to think of ball scores.
So that when you think of ball scores, you don't, what you call, drop your candy before you get in the theater.
That is correct, yes, sir. Now what happens? Along comes the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Now, for years, those of us who are sexually dysfunctional have been able to utilize Sports Illustrated as a way of keeping our mind off of what's going on until we can't stand it any longer, you know. Excuse me.
Right, and you drop your candy before you get in the theater.
That's correct, and forgive me for using the term.
Well, we can say that you're premature, so you can think of ball scores.
Yeah, but now that Sports Illustrated has come out with a swimsuit issue, every time I think of, and there are a number of men who have written to me and have also written to American for Fair Sports Journalism, who have said, I can't think of sports anymore without thinking of the swimsuit issue. And as soon as I think of the swimsuit issue and some model that they've got who's got on some thong or some mesh panty bottom, you know, I get my cookie. So I...
Okay, are you all right, sir? I mean...
I'm fine.
No, but I hear what you're saying. So, in essence, what Mr. Dozier is saying is that the Sports Illustrated issue, the swimsuit issue, no longer allows men to think of sports so that they don't have premature ejaculation because when they think of sports, they think of the swimsuit issue.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, so what do you propose?
Well, what we propose is that Sports Illustrated stop making asses out of us and eliminate the swimsuit issue. Go back to doing what they do best, which is report sports. Because what's happening now is the result of men who are sexually dysfunctional during the sports, the swimsuit issue period. Their wives are not faithful to them. I know this because it has happened to me. They go out looking for some guy who, I guess, is one of these stud ponies and is able to perform for longer than a couple of minutes. And the next thing you know, she's out whoring around, like my wife did.
Are you and your wife still married?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Are you and your wife still together?
Yes, we are. It's taken a lot of therapy, and it has taken a lot of individual therapy with me and Dr. Berube for the problem that I've got, which is the premature unloading, if you will. And my wife and I have have gone to...
You guys have gone to marital therapy?
Yes, sir, we have.
All right, what I'm getting from you is that there are a number of men who are sexually dysfunctional when the swimsuit issue comes out because they can no longer think of sports to keep themselves from, and let's just use that, it's a stupid term, folks, forgive me, to keep them from dropping their candy before they get in the theater.
Yeah, to have a premature.
Yes, I understand that.
See, you have to understand, I had been working with Dr. Berube, and I was up to a record time with my wife. I had, and I know it's probably not as long as some of you stud ponies, but I was at about 3.5 minutes, and I was very proud of myself. And all of a sudden, I knew trouble was coming because I felt like I was going to, you know, let my boys out early. And I said, well, I'll start thinking about sports. And the next thing I think about is the swimsuit issue. And that's first thing come to mind was the little pink panties on one of them swimsuit models.
You sound like you've got, you know...
Well, it's hard for me to... See, I can't... And then it just goes, all right?
So your wife is not satisfied, and as a result, she cheated on you?
She cheated on me, and I know there are millions of American men who suffered through the same thing, that their wife cheats on them. Because you're making love to her, and next thing you know, you're going to... Let your boys out early. So you start thinking about sports. And
you're trying to think of baseball averages.
Right, but you can't think of it for too long because of the GD swimsuit issue. The next thing you're thinking about is little thong panty.
All right, hold the line, okay, sir?
All right. Thank you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. If you just joined us, I'm going to try to encapsulate this for you. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is causing some men who have premature problems with sex, it's causing them difficulty because they were always able, men, and many women may not be aware of this, but men have used down through the years thinking about baseball averages, thinking about football scores to keep their minds off of having this problem. Mr. Dozier is saying that it doesn't work anymore because of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Thinking of the models causes him to, as he says, let his boys out early. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The other problem that he alluded to is this is not just a problem that he has, but many men have. And as the result, during the month that the swimsuit issue is out, there is a lot of sexual dysfunction, a lot of women who are sleeping with other men rather than their own husbands because during that month, they have this premature problem. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk to Vernon Dozier about the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back in a moment.
949-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I have with me Vernon Dozier, who believes that the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue causes sexual dysfunction in the men that read it. It causes a premature problem. Correct, Mr. Dozier?
That is my belief, yeah.
All the men who read the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yeah, all men who read the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cannot go as long sexually as other men. And as a result, their wives are not satisfied. And they tend to look for sexual satisfaction outside of the boundaries of marriage. And I think that this is a serious problem. I include myself in that. My marriage has been troubled by my inability to go as long as perhaps some other men. Call it what you want, dropping your candy before you get in the theater, let my boys out early or anything like that. I don't want to offend anybody, but what I am saying is that the swimsuit issue from Sports Illustrated is causing this sexual dysfunction. Now, I can tell you something, Mr. Hendry. I know enough people in the convenience store business and the liquor store business. I could make that magazine go away in some establishments. It's not a very difficult thing just to have a stockroom guy or somebody at the counter who's bringing the magazines in the morning just to throw them out.
Well, that's censoring other people's ability to read the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Well, and that is true, and I don't want to have to do that. But you need to understand, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, every time I think about sports now, I'm thinking about Fanny. And it's turning me into, I got a thing like a noodle. I mean, I'm all right for the first 3 minutes, and then the boys get out of school, and that thing drops like noodle.
Are you still in therapy?
I'm sorry?
Are you still in therapy?
Yes, sir, I am. And I'm trying to keep my, trying to go as long as normal men. I got it up to 3.5 minutes. And I don't want to ask you how long you were able to go, Mr. Hendry, but maybe off the air you could tell me.
No, that's something that I really don't want to talk about. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. So you're talking about the swimsuit issue making all men sexually dysfunctional.
Someone's got to help the men of America who have erectile dysfunction. We are begging for help, and Sports Illustrated making a fool out of me. That's the part I...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jason, or is it Justin?
It is Justin.
Justin, I'm told that by my producer that you took an informal poll at your class there.
Yes, I have.
Go ahead.
Okay, I took a little poll between some people at my class, and just because it affects you that way, and you think that it's because of the swimsuit issue that you're losing your boys a little earlier, I don't think it's like that. I think it's just a personal problem with you. You're using it as a lame excuse. You're taking it out on America. You're trying to take away one of our favorite magazines.
Well, I would ask you, Justin, do you read that swimsuit issue?
Yes, I do.
Okay, do you like the girls that are in it?
What was that, sir?
You like the girls that are in it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, see, when I think about sports, and I don't know if you're a married man or not, but I've been married 25 years.
Yeah,
I could think about ball scores, and I wouldn't drop my candy, like I was saying to the host of the show. Now I think about the swimsuit issue. My boys get out early. And
okay,
so my wife's not sexually satisfied. She wants to go off and have sex with some stud she meets in a bar.
Okay, well, maybe you should get your mind off the men in tights, and you should just start looking at the girls. Okay,
hey, what my suggestion let me tell you something. I'm thinking about the girls. That's why I'm losing the boys.
Okay, all right. Look at this.
What do you think about when your ponies are ready to romp and you have got...
Look, this is... like you're saying that every guy, Justin, you read the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
You got no sexual problems.
Not whatsoever.
Okay, I think that is a lie. And I think it's easy to call a radio show and say a lie like that.
Okay, Steve. I use this magazine. What you should do is take it in the bathroom every now and then and relieve some of your boys. That way they aren't so ready to roll with you, you know, let them out the ballpark.
What? Okay, listen, thanks. Go ahead.
You should take the magazine into a private place. You should relieve those boys' tension so they aren't so ready to run.
Here's the thing, though. The other men, what about the other men?
The other men?
All right, Justin, thank you for your call. Just, will you talk about the other men who have sexual dysfunction?
I'm saying that there are American women out there. Look, when I was growing up and I first began to explore my sexuality, I would use the only thing we had back in those days, which is a bra ad or a girdle ad from Cosmopolitan or Women's Wear Daily. And that's how I'd...
Yeah?
Now... They got all this new dude girls. Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Okay, look, you need to call your doctor or something.
No, I'm trying to say something that needs to be said, and that is a very simple and clear statement. Women are being promiscuous and are going outside of the bounds of their marriage. And they're taking their panties off for other men because their husbands have sexual dysfunction as the result of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Because every time we try to think about baseball scores or football scores so that we don't lose our candy before we get in the theater, so that we're not premature, as I've been trying to say to you, now the only thing we can think of are women wearing them little... panties.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be on the air talking to me about this, sir. You sound like you've got a serious problem, okay? In other words, something that you need to talk to somebody about rather than rapping to me.
No, no. That's what people have said. I understand that I have an inability to communicate as the result of this sexual dysfunction, but I'm saying...
But you're telling me the reason is because of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
That is correct, because they had a picture...
Well, don't say it, man, because it's difficult for you.
No, they had a picture of a woman in a string, and that made...
That made you be sexually dysfunctional and premature.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Vernon Dozier, who, as you've heard, believes the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue makes him lose his boys early.
Well, I'm saying that so that I don't have to say premature.
I understand that, okay? Now, you have no affiliation with this organization called Americans for Fair Sports Journalism. Is that right?
No, sir, I do not. But I do admire their work. And what they're trying to do is to finally get Sports Illustrated to come to its senses. See, I feel better already. Now that we can talk normally and sensibly about the political aspect of this, you can hear I can speak very clearly, okay?
Well, I'm glad to hear that, sir.
All right. I do not support Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and I do support the Americans for Fair Sports Journalism because I think it's an insult to women, especially women that are not that attractive and who would never be in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue because they're just not that attractive. And when you put a magazine out with women who are that good looking, you know, and they're...
Slowly.
Panties. And some woman whose face is as frightening as the day is long, she looks at that, and she's going to be angry. She's going to say, look at that. There's a good-looking woman wearing a pink panties, and I can't get in that magazine for love or money. That pissed me off.
Why'd you stutter on that word?
Because it reminded me of golden showers.
Wow! 1-800-449-8686. This guy's sick. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, I wanted to tell this guy. Are you there, mister?
Yes, I'm right here.
There's some really interesting key sites on the internet.
Oh, God, I got to get the URL.
Get out of here, both of you. Interesting pee sites. You know, I'm not going to bore you guys with, I don't know if you heard the news. If you didn't, I'll go ahead and just give it to you again and again and again and again and again until all of you have heard the news. But I did sign a development deal with NBC to develop a comedy show. Now, that having been said, naturally when I see news of a new show going on the air, I'm more interested than perhaps I would have been a year ago, 6 months ago, or whatever. Because I'm interested in what people are doing. Not that I want to lift their idea. Quite the contrary, I want to make sure nobody's lifting mine. See, I've got a very specific idea of what it is that I want to do. And I've, for the last 5 years, have talked to enough people in television who've called me and said, hey, do you want to do anything on TV? And frankly, my response has always been the same thing. Well, no, I don't. Do you have any ideas of what you would like me to do in television? And none of them really ever had an answer to that until NBC called me. And I said, well, here is the bare bones of what I'd like to do. So whenever I see news about a TV show, I'm interested. I like to see what it is that people are doing, making sure that it isn't something that I've already talked to somebody about. Okay, it may be overly paranoid on my part. I don't know, but it's just that's the way I think. Now, you guys all remember the Seinfeld show. And then after the Seinfeld show went off the air, you perhaps remember a couple of shows that were starred in by two former characters on the Seinfeld show. Kramer, Michael Richards, that show, and then the George Costanza character played by Jason Alexander. Although he didn't play, he played a character named Bob Patterson, isn't that right? Yeah. So both of those shows no longer exist. And one of the reasons for that is that people remember the oddball character of Michael Richards playing off of a more sober character, and that was Seinfeld. And they remember the oddball character of George playing off of the sober character, which is Seinfeld. Put those characters by themselves, and they're unwatchable. Because you need some sanity for them to sort of anchor themselves to. Now, Elaine, that was the character played by the very wonderful and the very talented Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She has her own TV show coming out now called Watching Ellie. And apparently this is going to be a show that is done in real time. So that if there is 22 minutes in your average 30-minute sitcom, this is going to be tracking the real 22 minutes of her life. And the person that reviewed this says it's fantastic. It's fantastic, A, because it's a very bold approach, and B, she's not going to be playing the character that she played on Seinfeld. She's going to be playing someone a little bit different from her. Also, it's a lot like Fox has got a show called 24, which is actually 24 hours. So I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to have in a situation comedy, no matter how crazy all the characters are, you got to have that one person who is a very very anchoring, central character that everybody else sort of swirls around. Like even The Simpsons. The Simpsons got Marge and Lisa. Aren't they the two most sober, sane characters in that whole show? I know I identify with Lisa and Marge. I feel I know them. And they don't even exist. They're not even real people. They're drawn with pen and ink. And what else? In Seinfeld, there was Seinfeld. And in the, for instance, what? Name a show. Like Third Rock from the Sun. Who was the really sober central character in that show? That dude's girlfriend. What old guy's girl? You mean Jane Curtin? Frasier is actually the guy. He's a sober guy. He's the central character because everybody else is even weirder than him. But remember, he came from a show where he was a weird ass, and the central character was Ted Danson. But they were able to take Frasier out of Cheers, give him his own show, and make him the sober, sane guy that you relate to because everybody else is even freakier than him. So take all those freak jobs that are on Frasier, stick them in Cheers, you got the cops showing up. So I ain't going to tell you what I'm going to do on my TV show if it ever sees the light of day, but I can guarantee you one thing. There's going to be a sane and sober guy in there somewhere. And you know who it's going to be? You got it. Vernon Dozier, the guy that can't say panties. Because compared to some of the cats I'm going to have on that show, he's going to be normal. Ain't that right, Vernon?
I can't even say P-sight. You got me in your show.
That's right. That's right, man. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So I was watching TV the other day. And, well, let me take this call from this gentleman here who's been hanging on. Bruce?
Hey, how you doing,
Phil? Good, sir. How are you?
All right. Hey, the reason I was calling is last week I caught a show. It was in the afternoon, and it was out of New Mexico somewhere, but I do have the tape. And somehow the subject of your show came up, the Phil Henry Show, and they had people calling in actually complaining about your guests.
And what show was it?
You know, I don't even know. I've got it on tape, though. I don't have it with me, but I'd like to send it to you guys. There was this woman calling.
No, go ahead.
There was a woman calling in, and she was complaining about Margaret Gray and how she was dogging out Kirk Douglas for giving a speech at some awards show. And she mentioned that she used to read Margaret Gray's column all the time, a little bird told me, and how she was boycotting it.
That must have been somebody doing shtick. Some listener of mine goofing.
Yeah, it sounded like the guys running the show knew your show, but they were egging these people on.
Oh, I wonder if it's a station that I'm on. It may be a station that I'm new to, and the people there they don't quite get what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. What's hilarious is these people calling in saying they've listened to your show for years, but then they're complaining about your guests.
Well, you say these people, you just mentioned one lady.
Well, there was another one that called in complaining about Ted Bell and how he wouldn't admit that he had been to the restaurant, but he had seen it, and he said he's never going in there.
Well, you see what I'm saying? These are all listeners of mine. This must have been some host who was talking about the show and everybody was sort of doing their own version of shtick. I don't know. Thanks, though, Bruce. Bye. Getting back to what we were discussing. No, actually, we weren't discussing. So I'm watching TV the other night, and a movie comes on. And now I am an old movie fan. A lot of people are. I watch AMC. It doesn't bother me. Some of the stuff is classic. What do you want from me? On the Waterfront, The Hustler. These are good movies. They're in black and white. I understand that today's generation doesn't have the attention span to really sit still for black and white, let alone all of those long, lingering shots. But some of those flicks contain some fairly decent performances. And every now and again, a movie comes on that I want to watch. Now, a flick came on, and it was called A Face in the Crowd. Now, you don't have to have seen this to listen to what I'm about to talk about. It was a movie that was about, I don't know really what it was about. I was trying to figure it out, but I noticed that it was directed by Elia Kazan. Now, you don't know who Elia Kazan is, but the word is that during the 1950s, Elia Kazan was called to testify against other actors before the House Un-American Activities Committee. This is what they had back in those days, the House Un-American Activities Committee. And what would they do? They would investigate Americans for doing un-American things. And they wanted to get to the bottom of whether there was a communist influence in Hollywood, which they'd heard so much about. So they called many artists, and one of the artists that they called was this Mr. Elia Kazan. And he proceeded to say that he used to be a communist, and he also knew other artists that used to be communists. And when they asked him, who are they, he went ahead and named those names. And those people whose names he named, some of them allegedly had their careers ruined. So as a result, down through the years, Elia Kazan has been seen as some kind of a rat. Now, many would tell you he may be a rat, but he's a great artist. He's a great director. He's done many great things with film. So anyway, I'm watching this movie called Face in a Crowd, made by this man, Elia Kazan, the man who is a great artist, but did rat out a few people. And it was the worst movie I think I've seen in at least 5 years. It was boring. It was stupid. It was incoherent. The acting was rotten. The writing sucked. It was about as bad a flick as I think I've ever seen in my life, now that I think about it. And it was made by this guy, Elia Kazan. Now, I don't know anything about his House Un-American Activities, whether he ratted people out. I got no opinion about that. All I know is that when I flipped on the TV the other night, all set to watch a flick, this was the worst piece of crap I ever saw in my life. Then I remembered, aha, they gave him an Academy Award about 3 years ago, And it was a real gutsy move because some people were going to boycott him. They weren't going to applaud. But out came Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese. And both of them came out and they said, and now Elia Kazan. And they were going to kind of stand up for him as he came out and got his award. Well, Mr. Scorsese, why don't you make a good movie for a change? And Bobby De Niro, you suck too. So that's all I want to say. Our number is 1-800-449. No kidding, man. That Rocky and Bullwinkle. Look at dude. You're only as good as the last one. And what is this guy? Martin Scorsese or is it Scorsese? And what has he done since Goodfellas? How about nothing? Why don't you not go on award shows? Get to work on a movie that we'd all like to see. Not some turd like Kundun. And as for you, Bobby, I think that's what people call you. Rocky and Bullwinkle sucked. The score was pretty good. Meet the Parents was very funny. I'm sure Meet the Parents 2 is going to be really cool, but try to make a movie where you're not piggybacking yourself on the back of a younger actor's career. Thank you so very much. And Marty, fix those big eyebrows. And Bobby, I don't want to call you Bobby anymore. And Marty, blow it out your ass. Thank you. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. It's time now for another episode in our continuing series, Flushing a Good Education Down into the Sewer. In this episode, we find out that Marcia Clark, a woman with a legal degree, someone who I'm sure worked very hard, maybe even at night, to put herself through law school, co-hosted the Rick D's Weekly Top 40 show once. What are you trying to tell me? This has been Flushing a Decent Education Right into the Sewer. Join us next week when we continue to discuss all those writers on The Simpsons who went to Harvard. Wow! You go to school. You stand before the bar. You become an officer of the court. Probably the apple of your father's eye. The pride of many generations of people who came to this country, gave their lives in foreign wars, worked in convenience stands and fruit markets. And you rise above. You become an attorney, an honorable profession, a profession in which you can keep people out of jail, help the poor, help the disadvantaged, defend those who can't defend themselves. And where does it all end? On a Saturday morning, Rick D's Weekly Top 40? How does this happen? Where does it all begin? This and other things will be answered in Dr. Feldman's class, Anthropology 6. You were in the crime of the century. The world lay at your feet. With a conviction, you could write your own ticket. Well, maybe that's why she's doing Rick's show, because she didn't... Yeah, okay, now I get it. All right, sorry. This has been Flushing Your Toilet Down the Flushing Your Toilet Down Your Education. That's more like it. Okay, thanks. All right, let me go over here to Joan. Hi, Joan. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I just listened to your little spot there when you were talking about Elia Kazan.
Oh, yeah.
I like films, too. And I noticed at the top of your, tirade, you mentioned a couple films you liked, and one of them was On the Waterfront.
Sure, that's an Elia Kazan movie.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Okay.
Well, so what's that proof?
I guess nothing's up, Phil.
I'll tell you what it proves. You know, this thing, have you ever seen American Movie Channel or whatever it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would have been Turner Classic Movies. But the guy comes out and goes, "Hi, I'm Robert Osborne. Coming up, we're going to see a film that came out in 1957. It was at the height of the Cold War. You know, he'll do a whole thing.
Yeah.
And they lay it out there like Elia Kazan's the greatest thing since canned beer. And this movie was the worst. And it's supposed to be a classic.
A poor example. Yeah, I know. That's maybe not fair, but that happens to a lot of them, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking the whole movie thing we just take way too seriously. I got a theory. Tell me if you agree with this. Art is only that which everybody can do. In other words, art is painting and writing because everyone can paint and everyone can write. Film is not art because you got to be a rich man to make a movie. So I can't make a movie. Can you make a movie? No, you can't. Can I go down here to Watts, go down to South Central, get one of these kids to make a movie? No. That's something that only wealthy men or guys with connections to wealthy men are indulged in doing.
Well, so that's making, the thing with all of it, you know?
No, it's not an art form. It's just some jive pastime of rich men.
Mm.
Now, it's, yeah, it's a lot of it's profound and beautiful, but I refuse to call it art because the average person cannot engage in making a movie. That's ridiculous.
Well, they do. They just make the cheap ones. You see those what movie all the time do they
make?
As well.
No, I'm serious. I could sit down tonight and write a novel. I could sit down tonight and paint a picture. So could you.
Right.
I can't make a movie.
Because you don't have the cash.
Yeah, because I ain't got the gym. So in other words, oh, I see. I haven't got the jack, so I'm not an artiste. Well, that's baloney.
Well, but that's what the whole digital video revolution is about, Phil.
Oh, gee, thank God we had a digital video revolution. Otherwise, it'd still be a bunch of schmucks like Elia Kazan. What is that name, anyway, Kazan? Did he come out of a bottle?
It's Turkish, I think.
Oh, okay.
He's an immigrant.
That guy gives me the pain. Thanks, Joan.
Sure, bye.
Bye. So where were we? Oh, yeah, flushing your education down the John. Why am I playing Britney Spears music? What, she made it, I think, like the seventh grade, right? And then they just, oh, forget it. Just take your pants off. That's about it, you know? Okay, Brittany. Cat.
I can't get it.
Come on, kid. I know you can do it. Oh, forget it. Take your clothes off. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number, of course, 1-800-449-8686. But more importantly, I want to give you a web address. This is our website, the Phil Hendry Show website, PhilHendrieShow.com. Here's what you get. If you become a Backstage Pass member, 30-day archive, you can listen to our show on demand, audio archives, webcast archives. In other words, all of the great audio from our show, top quality audio that you can't get anyplace else. And in case you missed the first ever Phil Hendry Show webcast a few months back, we've got it archived on the site for you to enjoy. Not only that, but you can watch me perform the show and watch us make the show as well. Special feature, guess the celebrity ass. That's something that we threw in to kind of draw the 25 to 54 and 18 to 49-year-old men. It has nothing to do with our show. It just shows some chick's ass. And that's free. You don't have to pay for that. So go to the Phil Hendry Show website, PhilHendrieShow.com. Get that backstage pass, only $6.95 a month. That's right. For the price of a pack of smokes and a Mickey's Wide Mouth, you can have as much Phil Hendry as you want. PhilHendrieShow.com.